Welcome to the Freedom Report.
What I love about Austin Peterson is his love of the battle. He wants to fight.
Austin was, of course, the rabble-rouser, just to make sure I stayed Rothbardian.
We live in a world fraught with danger, and there is a certain amount of danger that the public must endure in order to secure the blessings of liberty.
For economic freedom and personal liberty. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Today is Tuesday, October the 23rd. Thanks so much for tuning in to this Freedom Report podcast. And I do apologize because I'm a day late, but I hope it will be worth it for you because I was in Los Angeles this weekend at the annual political festival out there called Politicon. And if you've never heard of Politicon, Politicon is kind of a cross-partisan political event where you'll have conservatives on stage debating with liberals, and you'll have panels with people mixing it up over really important issues. And this year I was invited again to speak. The topic of the panel was Fight for Your Rights. And I was on the panel. It was actually three conservatives and two libertarians. It was myself, Cliff Maloney from Young Americans for Liberty, Tommy Lahren, Dan Bongino, and the roaming millennial, Lauren Chen. And it was actually a really interesting little discussion. Some of my Freedom Ninjas or Team Liberty supporters actually got to see it because I didn't know that there was a ninja in the group who was there in the audience. So my buddy Samuel Aloha was there, and he was recording it for us. So it was live streamed. So if you'd like to listen to the audio of that panel, I'm actually going to go ahead and upload it to my Facebook page so that you can watch that if you like, and my YouTube as well. My Facebook, of course, is just facebook.com/APForLiberty. Most of you know how to find me there. But I had a great time, and I got to meet some really interesting people. I got some opportunities to sit down and talk to people that I've always wanted to talk to that I've never had an opportunity to do so. The first interesting character that I ran into was Dennis Rodman. And, you know, this is kind of like continuing the topic of that panel where I was talking about the cultural impact of Kanye West. But I have to say that what Dennis Rodman did in his diplomatic masterstroke, in my opinion, of all, I could say that if I could be so bold, it was that he helped broker a talks between North Korea and the United States. He acted as an intermediary. It's just what a bizarre world we're living in these days, where Dennis Rodman is now one of our best diplomats, helping President Donald Trump in the White House after a meeting with Kanye, which went down last week. We talked about that in the panel. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I did get to talk to Dennis Rodman a little bit about his experience in North Korea and, you know, how important I thought it was that that we had peace between our two nations, and that I'm glad that we're moving forward with that and that he played a big part of it. And it was very hard to understand what he was saying. I couldn't quite understand exactly everything he said back to me, but he was very kind. And a lot of times, you know, famous people will have handlers like that, where they'll be surrounded by people who will try and keep you away from them. But his people around him were really cool. So that was a good experience. And I got a picture with Mr. Dennis Rodman. And that was cool. And then, of course, who else did I run into but Ben Shapiro? I was broing it out with Ben Shapiro. It was great because I got to run into Ben, but also I got to spend some time with the Daily Wire crew. Some wonderful people who work there. I actually read the Daily Wire every day. There's very few periodicals that I read regularly. One of them is the Washington Post, the other one is the New York Post, and the third one is the Daily Wire, which is Ben Shapiro's website. And I got to see my good friend Cassie Dillon, who's working there with them as well. They have a great team. Alicia Krauss and others were there, and they, you know, were really excited to see me. They had their own little special green room. And of course, everybody wanted to get into the green room to see Ben, because after Ben got done, he spoke to this gigantic crowd there in the Los Angeles Convention Center. And when it was over, I knew that he wasn't going to want to stay there for very long. So what did I do? I just walked up to his green room and was like, I'm here to see Ben. And they're like, okay, right? So it was like everybody else was trying to get in, but I just acted like I owned the place, and I was just like, whatever. Because, you know, sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. But I got in. Ben walks in, sits down, and I'm like, hey, Ben, mind if I join you? And he's like, no, not at all. So we sat down. We talked about the Kavanaugh hearings. You know, he and I mostly see eye to eye on I would say almost everything, because there was one discussion. I wouldn't say it was a discussion. I was just listening to Ben talking about foreign policy. And I think the war in Iraq, I disagree with Mr. Shapiro on the foreign policy question there about whether or not we should have invaded Iraq. I think he thinks we should have. I definitely think it was a mistake. But I didn't contradict him. I just wanted to listen to him. You know, you don't get a lot of opportunity sometimes to hear people like that speak up close. So I find it's always best to just be a good listener. You know, I asked a few questions about the midterms and politics. He seems to think that the Republicans will probably hold on to the House, but if they do lose, it'll be very, very tight, very, very close. And we talked about the U.S. Senate race and everything that was going on. Probably the most interesting discussion that we had, though, was about our evolving opinions on President Trump. Because both he and I were extremely prominent, some of the most prominent critics of Trump in 2016, him as the head of Daily Wire and a pundit, and myself as a presidential candidate trying to run against Mr. Trump. But Ben and I found common ground over the agreements that we had with Trump that we did not believe were going to happen. Because what Ben had said was that based on all of the knowledge and facts, based on everything that we knew about President Trump, based on the evidence, we made what was a reasonable judgment at the time. But at the moment, Donald Trump has won us over in many ways, in many respects. And it's funny because I actually said something very similar. It was a very mild praise of President Trump at the panel I was on. And that room just burst into applause. It was a lot of Trumpers in that room. They'd all come to see Dan Bongino. But when I praised the president, which I guess I must not do very often because the response was shocking to me how much they applauded and cheered. I was like, well, maybe I should have done that more on the campaign last year. But what was probably the most interesting part of the conversation between Ben and I was what was our evolving opinions on the president and what he's been able to do for conservative causes. And then after that, probably my other favorite person I met was the Fonz, Henry Winkler, Henry Winkler is the best. I mean, he played the Fonzie, of course, in Happy Days. Probably one of my favorite characters, Barry Zuckerkorn in Arrested Development, which is a really funny television series. You can watch that on Netflix if you haven't watched it. It's a really hilarious. He plays a character, a really bad lawyer in that television show. And of course, when I posted the picture of Henry Winkler with myself, Henry and I, everybody's posted pictures of the Fonzie, but we didn't really talk politics. He's not really a super political guy. He was just there to help host a panel, and I wanted to chat with him, but he was very friendly, very sweet. A lot of famous people sometimes are like, don't get anywhere near me, but he was really nice, took the picture, and it was cool. And the next guy, and honestly, probably my most favorite person that I ran into at Politicon was Eddie freaking Izzard. Now, Eddie Izzard's photo probably got like the smallest response because most people that know me know they know Henry Winkler, you know, they know Ben Shapiro or they know Dennis Rodman. But Eddie Izzard has been one of my favorite comedians for probably over a decade now. Eddie Izzard is a cross-dressing comedian who does his stand-up act usually in heels and a dress. And he is absolutely hilarious. My favorite stand-up that he's ever done, and he's done a lot, is Dressed to Kill. Dressed to Kill is one of the most classic stand-up routines that you'll ever see. And I couldn't think of any good jokes to tell Eddie. I really wanted to think of a good joke, but honestly, like, I don't really get starstruck, but Eddie Izzard is one of those kind of niche people that are like comedians, people that I really enjoy. And if you haven't seen Dressed to Kill, you should definitely get it, watch it. He's also got some really good bits about Star Wars that he's done, and some people have like done YouTube videos with like Lego Star Wars characters to act out his stand-up bits. So if you look up Eddie Izzard and it's spelled I-Z-Z-A-R-D, Eddie Izzard, then, check him out, watch some of his YouTube clips. If you're a rabid social conservative who just can't stand the thought that a man is wearing a dress ever at any point in time and you have to start calling them names, don't look it up. Don't look up Eddie Izzard. It's not for you. It's for people who like to have fun and have a sense of humor and aren't always, trying to worry about what other people are doing in their lives, if that makes sense. Yeah, so Eddie Izzard, brilliant comedian. Got to get my picture taken with him. And also got photobombed by Cliff Maloney. He was in the background there. So if you saw that picture on Instagram, Cliff and our buddy Sean was there. And they got themselves in the background of that. And then, of course, we had a fantastic discussion, a great panel discussion. I was actually kind of surprised because Tommy Lahren, who is sort of a controversial figure amongst conservatives ever since she got fired by the Blaze when she came out for being pro-choice, she, you know, her whole shtick up until this point in her career has been to own the libs, right? To just like say all these really rude, you know, things about liberals, call them names and do all this stuff where, you know, she's attacking the left, attacking liberals. But she was strangely reserved in this panel. It's almost as if she's kind of gone through some either a mea culpa or she's just gone through some transitional changes in her life where she just is not as confrontational as she was before, which is so strange because it seems as if, you know, the tone of what she's trying to convey is very much at odds with what got her to where she's at. So, you know, maybe she's having a change of heart about things. I wasn't quite sure. But it was her. And then, of course, there was Lauren Chen, like aka the Roman Millennial. And then there was Dan Bongino, who had a big crowd there. A lot of people were excited. Apparently, like, he walked off the panel right before him because somebody was, the moderator told him to shut the F up. I don't know. I mean, Dan's kind of a loudmouth anyway, but I thought that it sounded pretty wild. If a moderator is telling you to shut the F up, I'd probably want to leave too. So anyways, so lots of hijinks and shenanigans. Los Angeles was fun. I got to have lots of great food. It was a great little, you know, workcation. And I'm back in Missouri. Tomorrow I had to, or actually, I guess today from the podcast, I'll be heading to Columbia, Missouri, because some of you might have heard I'm going to be producing an election night special in Columbia, Missouri, starring Jennifer Bukowski in her brand new studios that she's built out in Columbia. So I'll be producing an election night special, which should be pretty exciting for you guys. You'll get to watch it, tune in for free online. It also might get picked up by Newsmax, which is kind of cool. And I haven't been an executive producer for a number of years. That's a big job, very important job, and got a lot of responsibilities, but I love it. And oh, one other thing too, if you're in the Kansas City area on Thursday, October the 24th, I'm actually going to be hosting a medical marijuana forum at the UMKC campus. I'll be discussing all three ballot measures here in Missouri that we'll get to vote for here in a couple of weeks. So if you're in the Kansas City area or if you're a Missouri resident and you'd like to learn more about the medical marijuana issues on the ballot, then feel free to come out to that UMKC. There's an event on Facebook, again, at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. So that's it. Brief one for you guys, but I wanted to make sure you got caught up. So we'll get you another podcast as well this week. Thanks so much for tuning in. Don't forget to check out my video on my Facebook page or on my YouTube page of my panel at Politicon so you can see a little bit more in detail what I was talking about today. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.